Big Sam left Seattle in the year of 92 with George Pratt, his partner, and brother Billy too. They crossed the
Friends, this segment is made possible by Platinum Cadillac and Chevrolet in Terrell, Texas. Stop by and visit with my buddy Mr. Justin Rudd and his team of experts, and let them put you in a new Chevy pickup or a Cadillac or whatever you might be in the market for. Also, the Choctaw Hunting Lodge up in southeast Oklahoma. Check them out at ChoctawHuntingLodge.com. Also made possible by Pyramid Air, your one-stop shop for everything air gun related. Well, friends, we are back. Thanks for sticking with us. And we do have Mr. Wade Derby with Crosshair Consulting. We're talking about going to Africa, not Wade's first time, but our first time. Somebody that has never been to Africa, this is what we wanted to target, maybe give you some pointers. So okay, that first real full day of hunting, you had some target animals and a plan. That you have to have that when you go hunting, whether you're hunting squirrels or black wildebeest. So the first day, anybody able to connect? I'm going to bet somebody got something, right?
Oh, yeah. The first full day, my son ended up taking an exceptional bless buck, a very old round that just had a lot of character to him. And it took about 3 hours to weigh him out and be in position. And he got a really, really close shot on him. I think it was about 54 yards.
I like close is good. Yes.
They're very similar to a pronghorn antelope. Uh-huh. I always kind of compare the African animals to some of our North American animals, like the kudu reminds me a great deal of our elk. Mm-hmm. The eland reminds me of our moose, and the blessed buck and the spring buck, those type of animals are very similar to our pronghorn.
Right. So, yeah. Yep. Okay. Yep. So you would now, would you stay out the whole day, or what about would you come back to the camp during the midday, or stay out all the time?
Some days were different than others. Mm-hmm. We did both. Yep. There were some days where we were able to return back to the main lodge and have lunch, and there's other days where we literally went from before sunup to after sunset to get back and ate sandwiches.
Yeah, pack a lunch.
Traveling, yeah. And traveling, mm-hmm. and trying to be in the right place at the right time.
Yeah.
I mean, one of the more unique animals that my son was able to get, and I still have never gotten one because I let him take the hunt, is what's called a bush pig, which
yes.
is not a warthog. It's an entirely different animal.
I want one. I would go over there just for a bush pig, yes.
They're one of the hardest animals to get in South Africa. In all the years I've gone there, I've never gotten one. You hunt them at night, you hunt them in baited areas.
Yeah.
They eat a lot of carrion and they consume the maggots, that are feeding on, the carcasses that, whatever, of a downed animal.
Yeah.
So anyways, he had an area set up where he knew that there were some pigs that were coming in. We made two evening attempts at them. On the second evening, my son was able to take one, which is, like I said, it sounds silly, but the bush pig to me is probably trophy-wise one of the most coveted, at least to me.
Did you use thermal? Was that allowed?
Yeah, he had a thermal monocular that he
okay.
used.
Uh-huh.
It is allowed. And then he was able to use the old school red light above the animal to be able to get a target acquisition on
yeah.
him.
Yeah, put the light. I've done that with feral hogs forever. Mm-hmm. A lot before I actually got into thermal, but use them. The whole key is to use that beam up above them. Don't put the beam right on them. Just put the fringe area of that light, and that doesn't spook them. That's my kind of hunting, Wade. I do a lot of. They're not bush pigs, but they're feral hogs that I live within a quarter of a mile of some awesome hog hunting too. So. Well, that's cool. And you also, I think, got a did you take a Cape Buffalo? I saw a picture there of one, I think.
My son did. Yeah, my son got a Cape Buffalo. There's a pretty good sized herd, and there were three really good bulls in there. There was one bull that we really wanted to get, and they were near the edge of a pretty heavy forested area. And Cape Buffalo will stand their ground for a long time, but then they'll get fed up and they'll just say, boom, take off, and they'll go into that thick stuff, and you do not go in there after them.
No.
So we got fortunate that basically he made four stalks. And when I say stalks, they weren't long distance stalks because you're within sight of the animals the whole time, and you're in their sight as well. And where he was able to get and work into a position to take a clean shot at the buffalo that we had picked out. Mm-hmm. And of course, when you've got 80 animals there, that's not an easy feat. But he ended up taking actually a little bit more difficult type shot, but it's pretty effective if you hit him right, and he did. He took a full frontal shot.
Oh, yeah, I bet that would be, you know. Yeah.
He hit him right through the heart, and of course it's a Cape Buffalo, so they don't just give in. They you know, they did take off running and didn't charge, and he ended up falling while he was running, and that's where he finished it.
Well,
he did give him an insurance shot.
That's something. Now, in your years of hunting Africa, Wade, I bet you've probably been privy and probably shot several yourself or been there when they were shot, right?
Yeah.
Cape Buffalo?
Sure. Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Have you ever had one, a real close call with one? I mean.
Yeah, I did. I mean, I ended up shooting one in the Limpopo a few years ago with a frontal shot as well, but it was even closer. My son's shot was about 40 yards. Mine was about 10.
Ooh, yeah.
And, it wasn't the buffalo that I shot, but it was the buffalo that were around us. And we actually got charged by a smaller bull after we shot the bigger bull. So you kind of have to have your head on a swivel quite a bit, especially when you're in close range and in and around the herd. You just don't want to let your guard down with these things.
So it's not uncommon, not necessarily the one that you shoot, you know, that you're targeting, but it's not uncommon for another one to charge then, I guess.
Right. And between the one that you're after, if you don't hit him cleanly, and, you know, you've got to concern yourself with him. Plus, like I said, when they're in a group of 60 or 80 and you're in, you know, thick brush or heavy cover, or even in the open for that matter.
Right.
You know, you've got to be paying attention.
So what caliber did he use there on this one?
So he ended up using a 375 H&H with some custom hand-loaded 300 grain soft points, and then he backed it up with a 300 grain solid.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And then the Dangerous Game, the PH, as he's got a big gun too. Was he using a double, or did he? What kind of gun did the PH use?
He had a Sako 416 Remington Magnum with iron sights.
Yep.
He didn't end up having to take any shot. Justin made the first shot very clean. And I actually caught that on film.
Oh boy.
You could see a clean hit and the buffalo's reaction hit through the heart. And then when he went down, they were right there. And just because it is a Cape Buffalo, we gave him an insurance shot just to make sure he stayed down.
Yeah. Yeah, like I've read and heard, it's the dead ones that get you, right? I mean, you want to make sure they are dead, yeah.
Yeah, no, I've seen a number of them take multiple hits and get right back up.
They must be. I've often heard, and this is not firsthand because I've never been there. I've hunted exotics here, you know, in the U.S. quite a bit, and maybe that's a little bit similar to some of the animals. So, but the African game, I've always been told by many different people that they have a tendency to absorb more lead and keep coming than most animals, you know, in the U.S. Have you found that to be the case?
Yes. I mean, yes and no. The thing that I've found, and you know, I was taught to be a meat hunter, so
yep.
I always shot everything behind the shoulder.
Me too. Me too.
Shot it in the head, behind the ear, if yep. it was, you know, appropriate.
Yeah.
And, you know, I had told my son, and the PAs told my son, you know, the typical Western shot on most of these animals is too far back.
Mm-hmm.
And so the shooting them in the point of the shoulder is what's encouraged. And he did see the difference. He shot a black wildebeest, and he hit him what normally would be quite well, you know, slightly yeah. behind the shoulder, a little bit high,
mm-hmm.
put the wildebeest on the ground, but then it got right back up and took off. And he was a little bit dumbfounded that it even got up.
Could do that. You know, I get it, because I've always been, to this day, when I shoot deer, you know, it's right there at the crease of the shoulder, I want to long shoot them. I want to drop them for sure, but I don't want to. The sure way to shoot them is up into that shoulder. You put a solid, you know, a good round through both shoulders, you're going to mess up some meat. But I've had people tell me, okay, Luke, you're going to lose, how much meat are you going to lose? You know, 5 pounds, 6 pounds of meat. That's true. But I cannot make myself, when I see a white-tailed deer, I'm going to put those crosshairs right there at the back of the shoulder every time. And I don't do, you hear them talk about neck shots on deer and all that. That's good. If I'm not knocking it, if that's what a person does, but oh, they move their head so much, you know. That's where I shoot deer. So,
and see, down in the thick brush country down there in South Texas.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, a lot of ranches require you shoulder shoot.
Yeah, I know it. They don't. I hate to look for game and hogs. I shoot a lot. Well, I kill a lot of hogs. It's my game here where I live. Center of the jaw, I mean the back of the jaw in the middle of the neck, bam, and they don't go anywhere. They can't, you know. So people, they shoot them in the head. Well, if they've ever looked at a hog at night through a thermal or whatever and watch it eating corn probably and watch that head moving around, that's an iffy deal. Wade, I've enjoyed. I wish we had 2 hours to visit with you. I would like you to connect people with Crosshair Consulting, with your company. And I know you make yourself available for people that they want to, they may not want to go to Africa. They might want to go to Africa, but they might want to plan a trip for pronghorn or whitetail in East Texas or wherever. What's the best way to connect with you?
Well, I'm on two social media platforms. I'm on Facebook under Crosshair Consulting, and I'm also on Instagram, Crosshair Consulting. And then, my cell is 406-439-8512. And then I do have a website that's up. I've had it for many, many years, and it's a placeholder right now. It's being refurbished, so it's not very comprehensive anymore, but it's just simply www.crosshairconsulting.com.
Well, Wade, thank you a lot. I do want to get you back. I know you're going to go to Virginia soon to hunt with a good friend of ours, Mr. Samuel Old, out there. You're going to have a treat, and I bet you're going to shoot a 25 or 26-pound Eastern Gobbler. That's what I'm going to predict. But would you, after that hunt, how about getting back with us? Let's talk some turkey. How about that?
Oh, absolutely. I'd love to do that.
Well, thank you a lot, buddy, and welcome home from Africa. Folks, I want to tell you about one of my long-term partners, and that is Pyramid Air. The website is pyramydair.com. They're a one-stop shop for everything air gun-related. Big bores, little bores, PCP guns, Springers, you name it. All different brands, some great air gun supplies, but also a whole lot more. Archery, ammo, optics, shooting and outdoor gear, action sports, all this stuff can be found right there and ordered through Pyramid Air. So remember, go online to pyramydair.com.